Please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. And we'll be back here in just a moment with another fascinating hour. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Bill Sardi. And we're going to be talking about genetically modified soy and soy products. Now, certainly the genetically modified foods are seeds. Certainly we find soy and canola and the cottonseed and the corn and now the genetically modified rice and certainly the genetically modified sugar beets. That even though you don't necessarily have the farmers planting these seeds, why the pollen spreads far long distances and contaminates the crops so that certainly 85 to 90% of the first four crops, that's the canola, the cotton, the corn, and the soy, they're all certainly between 85 and 90, 95% of those are genetically modified today. And then, of course, with the others, the rice increasingly is genetically modified. But is there anything wrong? Why, of course, the companies say, well, these are just safe. We didn't do anything. We just put new genes in here that will perhaps make the crops resistant to Roundup, or certainly we'll put a pesticide in there so that there's this pesticide, and if some little critter comes along, a little insect comes along and eats a leaf on the corn or on the soy, why they die. But then, of course, the product that you're going to eat contains those same pesticides. Are they dangerous? And what about those genes that they actually put in there? What happens when you ingest those genes? Can they affect you at all? Well, with the background on this, let's go to Bill Sardi. Hi, Bill. Thanks so much for being with us.
You bet, Dr. Stan. We have Dr. Jeffrey M. Smith, author of Seeds of Deception, kind of being the conduit for the information we're going to share this evening. Now, Jeffrey, we have to tell your audience, obviously, he's trying to promote a book, has for years, and of course his mind bent is to expose things about genetically modified, like the soy and so on our society. So we might say that he's going to be predisposed to give his viewpoint. However, I find a great deal of credence in what he's saying and what is happening on a world level because we understand the mechanisms behind all this. And what we're talking about and focusing on is childhood obesity and then an uglier topic, actual population control through modifying soy. Now, as you know, I'm the last guy in the world. I've defended soy, said the whole country of Japan, a great deal of China, eats soy every day. And in fact, the phytoestrogens that seem to be healthy are the miso soups where it's a fermented product and the phytoestrogens are even greater concentrated because of the fermentation. And you see a great deal of breast cancer, for instance, protection from that. But we have to understand that miso soup, that's during the time that women are more mature. And they have a great deal of this almost at every day somebody's eating miso soup there. It does not cause female characteristics. It causes thicker hair, healthier people. There's some reasons, because soy has a great deal of IP6 in it, a mineral-binding type of carbohydrate. So, but there's more to say about this, and we have to go to Russia for the rest of this story.
All right, fine. Well, of course, our guest is Bill Sardi. We're going to be talking about some studies that have been done in Russia by Russian scientists, and they're doing some very, very interesting work, especially on the genetically modified soy. Bill, go right ahead and pick up the story.
What Jeffrey Smith is telling us, he's interviewed a Russian scientist, Irina Ermakova. Well, Irina conducted an experiment which is highly criticized. They had to do with something with her because she conducted an experiment in Russia which has been widely talked about. This is not brand new, but it's slow getting to us and our attention, and that is she got some little rodents, some little mice, and got them eating during conception at the time they would conceive offspring, and got them eating the Roundup Ready, that is, soy that's genetically modified to withstand the herbicides. And then so the weeds would die and the soy would grow. And, of course, this is made by Monsanto and so on. So she takes mixtures of regular soy, genetic modified soy, and then mixtures of both in groups there, and then a control group just eating regular feed. Now, there's some flaws in her study, and they're pointed out. Eventually, they have to do something with her, and they get Nature magazine in their Nature Biotechnology series finally to publish her study, because no one else would publish it. But then they have all these critics commenting in between everything that she talks about. The problem is, and they bring up flaws in her study and all this, but her flaws would have been universally applied to all the groups. And it doesn't explain why, and these are shocking charts. This is by a very credible group. This lady is not a bad scientist. On the usual chow, she calls it, out of 74 pups that were born, 6 died, 8%. On Roundup Ready, GM chow with the soy, 24 die instead of 6, almost the same size group, a third. And then you take usual chow and put it with the genetically modified soy, 51.6, I guess this is, dead pups born, so 51.6%. So you're getting half of them. This is startling. Well, they say this had to be a flawed study. They didn't feed the pups correctly. Well, and then they go into this criticism that she didn't have enough money to conduct the study. Yes, precisely. They were trying to starve her out. She has to do this in Russia. Nobody's going to do it here. And what we find is that the people making these soy products don't have to prove they're safe to anybody.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in a moment with Bill Sardi. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're simply talking with Bill about this study that was done in Russia by a Russian scientist who actually took the, and whether they were mice or rats, but anyway, they were rodents, and some of them were fed soy products, and these, of course, were soy products, normal soy products, and others were paid regular chow, and others were fed certainly the genetically modified soy, modified so that it was resistant to Roundup Ready. basically, you could spray Roundup on this, and you wouldn't kill the product. You'd kill the weeds, but you wouldn't kill the soy plants. And so she found a significant increase in the number of dead pups, in the litters of the people who were fed the Roundup ready soy, in contrast to the other types of soy. So go ahead and pick up the story, Bill.
Well, it gets some of the criticism. I mean, you can see here very few studies have been done in this area. And when we talk about genes, the public is more going to think about like a gene mutation. Think of a ladder with rungs on it. That's the DNA ladder. And if there's a break in one of those rungs or a substitution or a deletion, then we call it a DNA mutation. This is not something on the ladder of the DNA. This is how the gene is switched on or off. Is it making proteins or isn't it? And what we need, what they're doing when they take foods, the first study they do is called genotoxicity. Does it cause gene mutations? Okay, that's very well known. One of them is called the COMET assay and so on. The problem there is it doesn't tell us about gene expression, this epigenetics, this turning the gene on and off. And so they're allowed to make these products, put them on the market, and it's Archer Daniels Midland or Monsanto or whatever's responsibility to prove they're safe. And no one overlooks this, but it just seems when there's something new, I believe probably industry should bear the burden of this and just go and do things, and they have liability insurance and so on. But the problem is, are they going to be candid? Are they going to share the information with us? Are we going to see adequate testing before things like this are put on the market? Second, we can't do a human study. You can't take pregnant females and start giving them things experimentally. It would be heinous. So we can't do those kinds of studies. So we have to use animals. And then we see here, this has to come offshore. The researcher doesn't even get funded correctly. There's unfair criticism. And let me give you something that would make this very clear. Aren't we all aware on the packages we now get in foods? On this side, it says the plant where this was made may have had soy there. Why is that on all of our packages of food these days? Because there's a great big upsurge in soy allergies. Well, wait a minute. They don't have that emblazoned on any kind of package in Japan. What's the difference? 91% of the soybeans and processed soy, milk, burgers, cereal, is genetically modified. So this is when we saw all this increase. Not in Japan, here in the United States. Japan has no GMO soy. So they absolutely keep it out of it. Now, doesn't this tell us something? I mean, we never saw this. Our grandparents never saw it. Soybeans have been around for generations. All of a sudden, we have this tremendous increase. We also have an increase in childhood obesity. And what we're concerned about is that these phytoestrogens, they're estrogen-like molecules, are endocrine disruptors, and they wouldn't normally harm most of us as adults. We're already fully grown. But when conception occurs and when the first years and first months of growth of the baby, that could alter the thyroid. The thyroid could be downregulated, and that's the thermostat, how we burn calories. You could regulate the hormones so that the little, what we call adipocytes, the fat cells, the fat-making cells, are going to be turned on and switched on, and we're going to have a genetic propensity to be fat, to be overweight. And this is genetically imprinted through a process called epigenetics, the switching on and off of the genes. Now, this has not, we don't see adequate epigenetic studies here. And we have one for bisphenol A. Don't let me lose you with these terms. Bisphenol A is the phytoestrogen that lines the inside of tin cans, because they got worried that you're starting to get too much tin in your diet. So they line the inside of tin cans with a coating. It turns out it's a chemical called bisphenol A, and it could you could get enough of bisphenol A out of your diet, eating out of tin cans. 17% of our diet comes out of tin cans. And chicken soup, infant formula, can you imagine? Ravioli, these things like this. And you could get enough to cause serious adverse effects as seen in animal studies, same time. So women who are pregnant might want to stay away from canned food. So why are they using these kinds of things? So we finally see a epigenetic study, October of 2009. So this is rather recent. And they go into the perinatal exposure of bisphenol A to the adipogenesis of the rat. That is the animal pre-inclined, the baby, to become fatty, adipogenesis, to make fat. And so what they're pointing out here is adult body weight may be programmed during early life, leading to changes dependent on the sex and the nutritional status of the infant. Now, this is what their conclusion is from the exposure, not to Roundup Ready soy, but you're getting the idea that things that occur during conception and early development that are in the class of chemicals that look like estrogen can have a tremendous impact and imprint on children, and they're going to become fat from day one because their little fatty cells are making fat because they've been genetically switched on to do that.
Now, Bill, could that be passed on from generation to generation? In other words, if your parents were fat because their genes were on, and when, of course, you then were formed in your the ovum, would the your genetic makeup represent your parents' genetic makeup as far as their genes being turned on or off?
I talked about this in a different light on the air by explaining that I went to a birthday party, and it was my one of my wife's uncles, and here he was introducing to us at his birthday party his long, a son that he had fathered with another woman many years ago, and this son finally made contact with his dad and wanted to meet him. And Randy was at the party, he's a man in his 40s, his dad's in his 70s, 70 years old at the birthday party. And so Randy was the spitting image of his dad. Never had met his dad, walked like him, talked like him. How did he get all that? Epigenetics. You have imprinted into the genes even your behavior, your language, the way you act. And so we see this in behavior patterns. That's why they say, you know, the old lady's likely to say, oh, he's just like his dad, you know. Well, that's true. This is what we see in epigenetics. And we've had the wrong view of genetics, thinking of something more Darwinian, which doesn't even exist, that gene mutations occur maybe every so many hundred generations or so. This isn't what we're talking about. Once your genes are imprinted this way, whatever you have is passed on to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. Now, a researcher named Randy Jertle at Duke University took little mice that were very round and obese, that ate all day and tended to get diabetes and cancer there, and took the females that were like they had a golden coat and mated them with normal brown mice that were of normal weight and eating habits. And during conception, they gave those animals folic acid and vitamin B12. That's two B vitamins, vitamin B9, vitamin B12. And on through the growth of the child. And what happens is when the litter came out, a lot more of the mice were brown rather than the golden, fatty, overeating animals. And then through on the generations, they all eventually became brown and normal eating because you altered the genetics with nutrition at that very time.
And what you're really talking about is turning the gene off or on. It's like a switch.
Off or on. So I'm showing you how you can undo this. It is permanent, but not etched in forever, and you can actually reverse it. But it becomes permanent unless you do something about it. Otherwise, you can take this animal, and they're talking about toxic origins of disease, and then, you know, an estrogen like bisphenol A that we find in tin cans, it was first reported in 1936. It's not like we don't know what this is, but we didn't know what epigenetics really were until more recently. However, we knew about gene switching and things even 30 years ago. So it's long enough to know. And we find that these kinds of changes can be handed down. We see this tremendous increase in childhood obesity occurring in the children in their first year of life and their second year of life. They should be growing and rather lean at that time because they're growing so much. And we don't see that. So what we see a shrinkage of testes, and we see inability to be fertile. We see horrifically obese animals when we do these experiments. I mean, unbelievable. But the big thing the Russian experiment points out with the Roundup Ready soy is you've altered the hormone profile in there, and you've altered the way the thyroid acts, and what you're doing is even culling the population. It's a population control bomb. And you've got this going. How in the world did America get 91% genetically modified soy? And of course,
hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go right ahead, Bill.
What Jeffrey
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Men and women, you cut out down on the fertility, and you cut down on it dramatically. There are lots of other things we could use besides lining our tin cans with bisphenol. Is this perhaps have another agenda? Is there a population control agenda? And certainly the children take these things and they grow up and they're very, very fat. Why are they fat? Well, because certainly these things will alter the genetic makeup. They'll turn these genes off or on. They call it epigenetics. They can inherit from their parents, or they can develop this certainly in utero, or certainly in the early years of life when they're drinking their formula out of a plastic bottle that contains bisphenol. It comes out when you warm the bottle. And what do you do when you're going to give the bottle of milk to the child? Why, you warm it up, and it gets the bisphenol out of the plastic into the child, and you alter the genetic makeup, and suddenly they become fat, and they become lethargic, and then they become infertile, and many times they have difficulty determining their true sexuality because this alters the hormonal makeup of the child. Bill, you pick up the story.
It's calling these things obesogens, you know, that obesity. They're just programming it in, and then these children not knowing why they're fat, why they are prone to gain so much weight. And now we understand why during childhood years you should be fairly lean because you're growing. And certainly have growth spurt years, like early junior high school age. And you kind of see kids getting taller and leaner. And we don't see that here. We've seen kids as wide as the front door. This just doesn't make any sense. And we're having thyroid disorders like we haven't seen before. I see a lot of women particularly with thyroid disorders. This says avoid tin cans. Certainly if you're going to be having babies, you want them out of the home. It says maybe you better think about any soy product because we don't know. You're talking soy milk, you're talking soy burgers and cereal. Probably all of that is GMO. I think soy is fine. They use it in Japan. We see it's a very healthy population there. Iowa State University researcher said it's not the phytoestrogens in soy that bring about heart health and other things. It's the IP6 greatly loaded in there. That's a component we find in the bran of like rice bran. It's also in soy. And it's a mineral chelating or balancing or controlling molecule. And so it's very healthy and helps us control those minerals. Well, soy, by its nature, should be okay, but we're not seeing an okay soy here in our country. They've laced us with something that's a genetic time bomb, and we're going to continue to see these effects here. I don't know. Now, there's something in soy called a trypsin inhibitor. Trypsin's a growth enzyme. Soy beans are not as big as watermelons, so they have little mechanisms in there to keep them small. And so these are anti-growth factors. And of course, if you're fooling around there when you want to have babies and get the growth going, then it's going to cause trouble. And the trypsin seems to be the substance that's causing the increase in the allergies. So we see this kind of problem. So generally, soy allergies are kind of uncommon, and we shouldn't have to make a big thing out of it. Now, it's plastered all over the place, and we see a tremendous increase in it, and it's because this is all now genetic modified soy. We didn't see it with the regular soy. We saw it with the onset, the sneaky increase of genetically modified soy into the American population. When they pay off the politicians, we can get all the labeling requirements cast aside, and we won't know that we're actually consuming genetically modified soy. My young boy does not, almost 6 years old, does not consume dairy product because we think it's contaminated with a germ, a mycobacterium, 2.5% of the milk cartons, cow's milk, contaminated with paratuberculosis. So he doesn't, that's what causes colitis and irritable bowel and Crohn's disease and even cancer in later life, probably Parkinson's disease. But we don't have him drinking soy either. He's on, kind of the almond milk stuff, that kind of thing. So, because we're just concerned about both of these things at the moment. And I've been a defender of soy. I'm the last guy to tell you, hey, be careful about this, until I really sat down, understood what epigenetics were. What's going on here? All this was on the front of Time magazine a few months ago, where they were talking about your genes are not your destiny. Your epigenetics can be altered and changed, particularly in during conception. And so they're talking about this. But at the same time, whatever you're doing during conception could also alter it in an unfriendly way, and you could see these effects. Obesity is one.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sydney Bell is talking basically about the genetically modified soy. Now, people don't understand that in Europe, they don't allow the genetically modified foods in there because they feel they know they're bad. Sydney, in Japan, they don't allow the genetically modified foods because they know that they're harmful. Here in the United States, it's a great social experiment, or perhaps something even more sinister, but the average American has no knowledge of the things we're talking about, except the Jeffrey Smith's book. We carry it. It's called, well, one of his books is called Genetic Roulette. That's the certainly the most the detailed one, the one we carry, and we have four tape sets on this subject. But you must understand, ladies and gentlemen, that they are, I believe, doing harm to the American people. They're not harming the European people. They won't allow it. They're not harming the Japanese people. But here in the United States, we're not even allowed to realize the fact that most of our soy products, certainly the vast majority of them, are genetically modified, have all potential complications, and can affect our epigenetics. Go right ahead, Bill.
Here's Irina Ermakova from Russia. She's with the Institute of Higher Nervous Activity and Neurophysiology of the Russian Academy of Sciences in Moscow. And this is a very learned woman. And she's explaining there are behavioral effects. And what she observed, aggression was more frequent in females and pups, not only towards one another, but also towards the laboratory personnel caring for them. And around 20% of the females fed by genetically modified soy failed to care for their pups. Have we had kind of odd reports in the newspaper about women not caring for their babies and things like this? They don't seem to make any sense. Is that ringing a bell to you? I know a lot of you listening here maybe have read stories about this. So, you know, it really tells us there's something going on here. And she goes on in the mortality thing to explain, we concluded that the genetically modified soy appears to have a strong negative influence on rats and their offspring, causing high levels of pup mortality, infertility in surviving pups, decreased weight gain and size in some pups, and then pathological changes in internal organs, such as sex glands, and deleterious effects on behavior.
Hold that thought. We're going to be right back in just a moment. Of course, Bill is talking about the fact that Sydney I remember, well, I can't pronounce the name, but he sees the Russian scientists had found that certainly in the children, the offspring of the rats that had the had been fed this genetically modified soy, a certain number of them didn't take care of their pups. Now, ordinarily, certainly a rat, a female rat, will take care of her children. I mean, this is something inherent within her very makeup. It's inherent within every animal to take care of it. Now these rats or mice actually fed the genetically modified food, their behavior is altered, and they're not really taking care of their pups the way they would anticipate. Not only that, but the females are more aggressive towards the people who are handling them and towards one another. So their psychological makeup is altered in the animals that are eating the genetically modified food, and you pick up the story, Bill.
Well, Ermakova, Dr. Ermakova, saying, here, in the first person, I was perplexed by my data, and I appealed to scientists at this conference to repeat my experiments. Now, no one's doing that. This drew the attention of a journalist, luckily, and got public attention in the Russian Federal News Agency. So, you know, she was trying to do this. What is the striking thing that convinced me? Because we're just talking about somebody else's data. How do we know the numbers are correct? She's got pictures. And she's got pictures of male mice fed genetically modified soy. Their testicles are a totally different color. They're supposed to be a normal pink, and they're dark blue. Look, when you see a big change like that, you can see it in pictures. I don't believe they doctored this. You can see there's something big going on here, and this is not something contrived or fabricated in any way. So, and you see somebody outside the United States has to do this. So then, to come to their defense and poo-poo it all, Nature magazine publishes what she's going to say with her charts, with criticism in between from various researchers. And what do they cite as their evidence on all their side? Well, they keep saying, well, this study was done, it was totally contrary. How many studies did they cite? I'm looking here. One. What? Hey, this is such a critical thing that you really need to understand. You need lots of studies to prove that these things aren't genetically disrupting the sex glands and the hormones and so on in the genes of these animals. So what we see is evidence to the contrary. We have it with bisphenol A. We're certainly going to see it with soy here now. And so the genetically modified, I mean, they've got, you know, millions and billions of dollars wrapped up in all this, and there's no explanation for the increased allergies, no explanation for why we have obesity rising with childhood in children, and certainly we have behavioral aspects, and I'm going to, I haven't done enough research on this, but we certainly want to know, maybe it feminizes males. We have to think about all these things, so you know, we're dealing with issues here that are very tragically important. We're playing with God's mechanisms. We're fooling around with things. You know, the animals in the soy fields, the normal predators, they don't eat the soy now. They used to come, and the rats and the mice in a field there, they don't eat the GMO soy. They know there's something wrong with it. The insects don't come and get it as it's spoiling and so on. So it's changing the whole fabric of the ecology in those areas, because the insects and the normal predators who come to eat soybeans aren't eating it. They know there's something wrong with it. These animals have a sense of smell or whatever it is that they should eat these things, and they're not. So we see a disruption of the normal food ecology even out in the fields with these GMO products. So why we're doing this now, a whole lot of, I find out online, a whole lot of restaurants and other food suppliers have pledged to get rid of GMO soy. Not enough, but there is a list, and we need growing rejection of all this. And I'm going to tell you, with 91% of the soy beans being raised in the country are genetically modified, you can just guess all the soy products you're seeing, probably even edamame, which is the raw bean itself that you see sold in the stores, is maybe genetically modified. So unless we have adequate labeling, we could assume all of this is this way, And this poses a real genetic time bomb problem for me. I do not trust, because I have seen so much of what they've done covertly in so many areas. I believe cholesterol was a population control intervention as well. It was very covertly put in. So under the guise that they're helping cardiovascular disease, there was no reason to cut the cholesterol and fat intake of growing children, and yet that's exactly what they did. So you wouldn't want to do that in a pregnant mother. She needs fat and so on. So all of these things, tip off that they're practicing population control in society. This is what they're doing, and we need to be aware of it and get ahead of this game and make sure that, you know, our young daughters in particularly are coached and get plenty of folic acid and vitamin B12, these are called methyl groups, into their diets so we prevent these kinds of alterations and changes. And, of course, we know, you've been listening to Dr. Stan's show here, how they even tried to do something in the vaccine area in the Philippines so that they could create sterility in females and so on. The World Health Organization did this. They got caught and ran out, but they actually had done this. So we see covert efforts around the world to control the population, to control fertility, and, this is certainly, it's for all the Christians listening, you know, it's be fruitful and multiply, and so, you know, it's against God's instructions. So what we have here is something rather sinister and something terrible, and it's scary to me because now we understand. I could never figure out why in the world we're complaining about soy and the allergies when Japan eats soy with abandon, no problems. Well, now we know the difference. They covertly snuck soy in as the genetically modified varieties. This wasn't so. I wasn't paying attention how much of our soy is now genetically modified, and this is exactly what we see. So they've snuck it in here. They paid off the congressman, which is a great problem in our country at all levels, and we're not able to discern which product is which. So I believe that you're not even allowed to say it's non-GMO. So this is a terrible problem. It's a censorship of some kind. So it tells me we ought to be throwing the soy out for the moment. Something good, beans and things like this tend to be good for us. In this case, man has gotten into changing what God hath wrought, and what we have here, I'm so suspicious out of this that, and there's enough factual evidence on it that it says we need a pause. Don't move into this zone, and if they can prove it safe to us, otherwise consider it unsafe. Do not consume. And so I see a terrible red light here, a stop sign. Everybody should stop, and we need people alerting us. This fellow Jeffrey Smith, if you want to go look online, go to YouTube, type in Jeffrey Smith and GMO soy, and he gives a couple little talks there. It's wonderful to hear it first person from him. So I don't believe he's an exaggerator. I don't believe he's cited anything that isn't reasonable science. He did go to Russia to find these things out firsthand, and it's odd that it has to come from outside the country. This researcher, Ermakova, her funding was cut. They did everything they could to discredit her. They couldn't get rid of her because she was on the world scene. They put her in Nature magazine, but they put all the skeptics' comments in between, and they were valid, except they didn't make any sense. Because whatever drawbacks in the study that she did would have applied to all of these pups in the same manner. So why were the ones on just the regular chow, the death rate was far lower, and the effect on fertility and so on, and then the effect on the glands and the testes and so on, all these kinds of things were dramatically different in the GMO-fed animals. So it wouldn't make any sense. And so I am completely aghast at this. I am shocked. I believe it is an absolute bomb from a genetic side in humanity. And we see a population here that is not as healthy as third world countries. Now we can understand it. They're giving us processed foods that are genetically altered. Now, we can do things like grafting foods, you know, together. We can take and graft, I think, what is it, a nectarine or something was grafted and something. Whatever they make is fruits and things. Those are natural ways of, you mix the genes and you make a mix of this. But, you know, we're not talking about things like that. We're talking about intentionally knowing how to modify these genes so that it, you know, you can get the Roundup Ready herbicide to work on the weeds and not the soy. But you've altered the genes in the soy, and then that in turn, because these are estrogen-like genes, they produce things like that, molecules like that, and that is what we're talking about. And these things are modifying our thyroid, and they're imprinting that change so it's with us for the rest of life. So we need to know when there's question this serious at the beginning of life, something that could affect the lifetime of somebody, there should be a big red light here. The problem is we do not, because all of our government is paid off these days, we don't have anybody to step in and do this. And when we do, we argue that we have too much government and all that. So there's no way to run here today. You're going to have to be informed and knowledgeable and reject these things outright as individuals. Get educated. Tell your friends. They are playing with the food, and we believe that they're even playing with population control and our fertility. They're even making us continually dependent on medicines and the medical industry from the day we're born, by making us genetically prone to be having thyroid and problems and to be obese, and therefore diabetes and everything else. So, you know, this is an incredible situation that we face. We're just the little pawns in this game, and we're the victims or the whatever you might call it, and we're being fed what they want us to eat. So, you know, we're going to get to a day, I can see it, where we're going to have to raise our own food. We're just going to have to do something like this, because I just can't see how we're going to get foods through our processing systems that aren't altered in some way. Big business is trying to pay off government, and then we have government make rules, and this becomes a kind of a fascist kind of a country, because they don't have to market things. It's now a policy that all girls going to school should get, for instance, a vaccine for the human papillomavirus. So they don't have to sell it to anybody. It's just a rule if you're going to go to school there. And so on and so on and so on. So industry has a motive to pay off government so that they don't have to advertise. They don't have to convince or educate you. It's just a rule, and government passed it, and everybody has to get it. Well, the slaves are, you know, what are we? We're just doing what the, you know, our rulers tell us to do. So, you know, we might as well just drink that punch that Jim Jones told everybody to drink, you know, and took them off to that foreign country. So it's terrible what I'm reporting about. I believe it's real. I've examined the science. We know the underlying mechanisms. We know that further research should have been done before all these products are put on the market. We know that they've covertly kept us from knowing about a genetically modified soy on labels. Why would they do that if there wasn't anything wrong? Why would they plant their own guy inside the FDA? Why would they do these kinds of things? Obviously, something's wrong here. And as I said, just think, in recent years, we now see the labels talking to us on the side of food panels saying, where this product was made, it had soy in that plant, meaning about soy allergies. We never saw this before. There were tons of soy products. They weren't GMO, and they didn't cause the allergies. You don't see that kind of labeling in Japan. We are getting totally, totally, you know, schnookered on this thing. I mean, we've got to think, what? We don't see this in Europe. We don't see it in Japan. What is wrong? We need a stronger voice to resist this stuff. It's real. What's obvious is not being reported by the news media and other things. We're confused. We don't see the whole picture. And it's a very sinister picture. There are some people here involved in some very, very sinister control of the population. You can see it here. You can see that they're trying to keep this information away, and they're simply not doing the research. The National Institutes of Health could haul off and with all their millions and billions certainly conduct the research that's needed in this area. It's not being done, and certainly the manufacturers haven't done it. So I would declare this unsafe. Do not proceed with soybeans of any kind, from the fresh ones you see in the store as Edamame on through, because we do not know what we're eating. And I would certainly put up a red flag on all this. We ought to get some people to go into stores and put some labels right over the soy products. You know, I mean, we don't have the grocery stores, and things are not there on our behalf. They should have stopped all this and made sure there's others, you know, that could have done this. So the Department of Agriculture obviously didn't put up a fight here. They're paid off. So we have a paid-off government. We have too much industry influence, whether it's in banking or, you know, whatever field that we have in, and it's just too much. And this is the kind of country we live in today. It's not a democracy or a republic. It's a fascist government. And this is what happened in Germany. The industries there controlled the government and paid them off, and this is what they wanted. And the big businesses wanted to make sure little new competitors didn't come up, and wanted, of course, the government to declare certain laws so everybody had to use their product. And so this is what we have, a fascist regime, regardless of what political party is in there. And they've just got this window dressing of a republic and a democracy and a constitution standing in the way. The kids are taught this in the schools, haven't got a clue that it's not even being practiced, and this is what America has become today.
Well, I think it's so important that people understand you're going to have to take care of your own health. You're going to have to get the information. You're going to have to learn about this. You're going to have to learn about the genetically modified food. And we could talk about bisphenol and phthalates, and we could talk about the chemicals. We could talk about what they're putting in your water in the way of fluoride and hydrofluorosilicic acid, what they're putting into your vaccines. Basically, ladies and gentlemen, you are going to have to become informed. And fortunately, we do have some excellent books. We'll talk about that a little later. But believe me, this is not an imaginary problem. It's a very real problem. We're talking about the destruction of the safety of soybeans, corn, canola. Now it's into the rice. It's into the sugar beets and other products that your children are eating and destroying their health. Well, Bill, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Of course, it's difficult if you're just listening. You're a new listener to Radio Liberty.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, I was horrified when I saw the plight of the people in Haiti after the earthquake, but a similar event could happen right here in the United States, and that's why you should call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and purchase a supply of his products. Freeze-drying is a great way to preserve food. I know because I bought a supply 40 years ago, and when I opened a can recently, the food was as fresh and tasty as when I purchased it. We're living in uncertain times, so if you'd like to have a supply of ground beef, diced beef, chicken, vegetables, or fruit on hand, call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and mention you heard about him right here at Radio Liberty.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
That's newswithviews.com by Jeffrey Smith. We do have an excellent book by Jeffrey. It's called Genetic Roulette. Genetic Roulette. We recommend this to you very, very strongly. And then, of course, we do have an excellent four-tape set on genetically modified foods, GMO foods. You need to know, ladies and gentlemen, they're poisoning our children. They're poisoning our children, and we can get our material on aspartame, and you can get our material on mercury and on vaccines, and certainly on the monosodium glutamate. We've got so much information. There is a population control agenda, and they're poisoning our children with aspartame and MSG. They're poisoning our children with bisphenols and phthalates. They're poisoning our children with so many of the chemicals that are in the things. They're poisoning our children with the metals, the mercury and the aluminum in the vaccines. They're poisoning our air that we breathe with aluminum. And that was the program we did this afternoon with Sydney Roslyn Peterson. We did that last night. Oh, they're poisoning us with genetically modified foods. They know what they're doing. And believe me, they have the doomsday seed bank up there above the Arctic Circle that is under guard today, full of wonderful, healthy seeds. So they'll have them there to use when they start all over again. And they really do intend to destroy the majority of the world's population. An article in the latest New American magazine about the Georgia Guidestones, interestingly enough, they had the pictures, and then they referred to the source material from Radio Liberty, from my ministry. We were probably the first one to start talking about this. Go to my website at radioliberty.com. Pull down the division on the Georgia Guidestones and read about their plan to kill off 90% of the world's population, over 90% of the world population. Get my DVD on planned population reduction. Planned population reductions. Get my talk on Nundare College genocide, on population control. Get our four-tape set on population control. Get my monograph, and you can get this on the Internet without charge. It's called the Population Reduction Agenda. Population Reduction Agenda, or just Stan Monteith Population Reduction should get it for you, Radio Liberty. Get the information. You need to get the book, The Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life by Dr. Russell Blaylock, our good friend. You need to get my four-tape set with Dr. Russell Blaylock, Life-Saving Secrets. They really are doing everything they can to harm our people. They're doing everything they can to harm the children. Why would anybody do that? Well, why would people within our government have helped Dr. Mengele escape to South America after the Nazi regime collapsed in Hitler's Germany? Ask yourself that. We've got a wonderful DVD, certainly, on the CIA secrets, 18,000 suppressed pages. We've got the book, The CIA Doctors, by Dr. Colin Ross, who goes into the background of the terrible experiments that they're doing on our children today. And, of course, it goes into the background of the CIA's experiments and, of course, goes into the background of the program to hurt our children and create dissociative personalities. This is not imaginary. We're dealing with truly wicked people. Incidentally, Dr. Colin Ross, who wrote the book, CIA Doctors, I asked him about Dr. Mengele, if he had run into anybody who said they'd seen Dr. Mengele in the United States. He told me he'd had several of his patients at talked about meeting Dr. Mengele. I personally talked to three people who say that they met Dr. Mengele here in the United States. True or not, I don't know, but we do know that our own government, at least the dark side of government, helped Dr. Mengele and covered for him when he was living and lived out his days doing diabolical things in South America. Voices not imaginary. Our number is 1-800-5-